blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 74, stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, give ear, and when with my voice I cry aloud to thee, have mercy also, I entreat, give answer unto me. 1 through 4 of Psalter 74. Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, the 10th chapter, Romans chapter 10. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, it is a solemn word that we have heard in this afternoon hour. Thou, who art stretching forth thine hands, who hast done so unto thy people Israel, and when they would have none of thee, but when they have rejected thee, when they have put thee to death, then thou didst go unto another people. And then thou didst send thy disciples unto the Gentiles. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And thou sayest thou wouldst provoke them to jealousy by a people who were no people. They were not thy people. They were the people of this world. They were the Gentiles. They were the heathen. And thou didst work among them. And thou didst bring them in by way of a new covenant. Thou didst provoke then thy people to jealousy. Oh, that it may be so also in the day in which we live, that beloved for the Father's sake may be provoked unto jealousy when thou art bringing in the heathen over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Oh, they who have been given thy word from the beginning, and who have not kept it, that they may be drawn to seek thee, and that that branch may be grafted in again unto that living vine. But wilt thou also look upon us, Lord, then we are also those who are brought up under thy truth. We are those who hear thy word from Sabbath to Sabbath day. We are those who are instructed from the days of our youth. And thou knowest that we of ourselves have no desire for thee and for the things of thee, for thy truth to be planted in our own soul, that our hearts go out after this world and all that is vain and carnal. And then there are those on the outside of us. There are those who do not hear it, but Lord, then thou also art able to bring them in. And then it is possible that we who have heard it our whole life long, that we are hardened and that we are made cold, so that we have no desire, and that thou wilt bring in others in our place, that thou wilt remove thy candlestick, and that thou wouldst provoke us to jealousy by a people who are no people. Oh, that thou may remember us then with our children, that the seriousness of our life and the seriousness of the matters that are brought before us day after day and week after week by thy word, that they may be bound upon our hearts,
that we may not become accustomed to these truths, but that thou with thy Holy Spirit may prick our heart, that it may be sharper than a two-edged sword, that thy word may enter within, and that thou may give unto us a new life and true faith to believe, that indeed thou art the living God. Oh, that we may desire again thy blessed communion and favor. Oh, look upon us then with our children. Lord, then it is not the outward means merely that are able to make such a great change within us. Oh, it is possible that we are changed in our behavior. It is possible that we are brought to an outward obedience, and that we are that we love one another, and that we walk according to thy truth. But it is not possible for our will to be renewed. It is not possible for our affections to be touched. Then we need thy Holy Spirit to do such a great work and to renew our hearts and to give us a new life, that there may be hunger, that there may be thirst, not after vanity and all this world, but that our hearts may thirst after God as the heart panteth for the brooks of water. Oh, come then, Lord. It is thy work. It is a great work. It is a work of the Almighty God. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, then we acknowledge it in this afternoon hour, at least in an outward way. Thou art almighty. Thou art all powerful. Come then and show it unto us. Oh, give us to experience that power in the last days also, that our children may also know and feel and experience that thou art still alive, and that thou still workest to bring in thy church, that they may not be strangers of the work of thy Holy Spirit, and that they may know what that work does accomplish in the humbling of a sinner, and the bringing him in the dust before thee, and in the making room for thy only begotten Son in the life of a man. O Lord, wilt thou give them in the days of their youth to seek their Creator while they are still young, that in the best years of their life, in their health and in their strength, they may desire thee, the true and the living God. Oh, that thou may remember them in the days in which they are in the weeks, that they are not in school, that thou may keep watch over and protect all of our children. And wilt thou give rest also from all the labors, they and their instructors together, that they may be ready to begin to gather once again at the appointed time. And wilt thou bless the labors of all those that do prepare again for the instruction of our children. Also the meetings which we have held with the principals in the past week. Lord, that thou may give thy blessing and that thou may help us in all the matters that have come before us and all that we prepare to do. Oh, that thou may give us wisdom in the days wherein Satan goes about to destroy our youth and our children, that we may know how to reach them, and that thou thyself would do what we cannot do when all is seeking their destruction, that thou may bless the labors of our hands, and wilt thou put a fence and a wall about our children to keep them from all evil and sin. And wilt thou look upon us as parents also? Lord, we need to be given wisdom from above. All we need in the days wherein we live, where the devices of Satan do multiply, all we need to be given such caution, and we need to be given such a fear of thy name, that we may be enabled to warn our children, and that we may be enabled to restrain them from following in the paths of sin, that we may be enabled to set before them a right example and that the fear of thy name may be evident within our households, in the heart and in the life of father and of mother, that there may be a desire not to go in the way of the world, but that our hearts may follow in the paths that thou hast laid out for us in thy holy word. O, look then upon us as families, bind together husbands and wives and children together. O, around thee, around thy holy word, and around thy truth, as we may read it in thy word, that thou may look upon all that have difficulties in these relationships, and that thou would heal all the breaches. Lord, wilt thou go before those of our students and those that have attended them also upon the mission fields in these days, that thou may supply in all that they do, and give thy blessing upon the labors of their hands also, all that labor in that place. Wilt thou bless and sanctify thy word, and may it be over all the earth where thy word is brought, and the acts of mercy are bestowed upon the poor and the miserable. Lord, that thou may supply from above for all that are have insufficient in this world, that especially where thy word is not. Oh, we have read it out of thy word, how necessary that they be sent to preach, that the word may be heard, and that they may come to believe on him whom thou hast sent. Send them forth therefore, O Lord, in thy mercy, and that thy kingdom may come, and that thy name may be glorified in the earth. And wilt thou look upon those who hope to be united in this coming week in the bond of holy matrimony, Lord, that thou may go before them, and that thou may supply for them in that which is ahead, and that thou may give what is necessary to make that vow which they intend to make, and which is broken by so many in this world. Oh, that thou may bind them together as is necessary, as thou alone art able to do, and that thou may look upon each and every one of us, that we may seek also, and that we may be bound unto thee. Lord, our heart goes not out after thee, as the bridegroom of thy church by nature. Oh, that is the work of thy Spirit to draw us. Oh, that it may be felt, and also in this afternoon hour, that thou may help us in the preaching of thy word, and that thou may strengthen us in mind and body, that our soul may be in thy hands, and that we may receive from thee the words to speak and the matter to burden our heart, and that there may be a little drawing in this day to thy word and to thy testimonies by those who have no desire after thee, and that that there may be a holy jealousy planted in the heart for that blessed portion that we cannot miss. Do forgive and take away all of our many sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 187, all stanzas. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy, turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer. Thy servant bless. 1-4 of Psalter 187. Thank you. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. They are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are His words as He instituted the ministry in the New Testament time. They are His words as He has sent out His disciples. Then He has warned them, saying, "Beware of false prophets that will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly," He says, "they are ravening wolves." Thus, they are on the outside one thing, they are on the inside another thing. Thus, they say one thing with the mouth, and they have another intention of the heart. Thus, it is hypocrisy. But it is hypocrisy in a special way aimed at the true church of God. And we see that has been already even from the very beginning. Satan, as that great deceiver, has tried to destroy God's church. He is, as that deceiver, going, children, even to Eve to speak to her, and under the color of the truth, even using the name of God, young people, and that is often done in the day in which we live, God's name being used, but God's word being twisted so that it is not truth, but that it is falsehood. And so we see the work of Satan throughout all the ages, that he is raging against the true church of God. Tribulations, persecutions. But now the greatest part of that destruction, he is working not from without, but he is actually working from within. We read that Paul writes to the elders of Ephesus. He says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." So he says they shall arise. They shall not come all from the outside, but they are also going to come even from within you. Those whom you know, those with whom you are familiar, those who it will not be easy to reject because of the relationship that you may have with one another. And they shall bring within your midst poison for your souls. So we see happened within the Roman Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic doctrine. So we see Socinus, so we see an Arminius. Most precious doctrines of truth for that true church of God. They are continually liable to attack from Satan himself. Satan rejoices when he may do what? Satan rejoices when he may destroy the comfort of the afflicted and the true church of God. Then he may take it away from them, because he would see them to pine away under all their wretchedness. Satan rejoices when he may deceive those who are ignorant, and when he may lead them to their own destruction. That is something that is going to become, as time goes on, it is something that is going to become more and more intense, and the devices of Satan, they will become more and more subtle,
So that the Lord says, if it was possible that this prince of darkness, he is going to deceive even the very elect. We read in the Word of God that in the last time, in the last days, knowledge is going to increase. And so we see that happening in the world in which we live, that knowledge is increasing. And technology that is increasing. And congregation, then also we have many books. And those books, they are being published. Surprisingly today, that when there are so many evils being published, that our children and our youth, they may take them up and they may poison their young minds, then the Lord is also permitting that the works of our fathers and the works of the church fathers, they are also being printed. But young people, what are we reading? Do you know what the Lord says? He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Oh, we understand, we hear that many of you, you are reading the things that come to you over the internet. That is very, very broad, worldwide, but it is only an inch deep. Oh, there is so much evil, and you are filling your minds with all of these things. But where are the books? Where is the hunger? Where is the desire for the knowledge which our forefathers have written down so painstakingly? To defend that error, defend the truth against all error. Are these books, parents? Are these books even in our homes? Are we searching these titles out that we may give them unto our children, that we may put them in their hands, that they may take them up and that they may read them? No, that is not what we are going to find young people on Facebook. It is not. That is a place where we cannot be. Technology that is increasing far faster than we are able to keep fences around you as children and as young people. And you need yourself to see the very, very many dangers that are all about you. And you need yourself to be cautious that you are not immediately taking up every new thing, because Satan is seeking your soul to destroy it. But there are so many things, there are so many truths that are written that you can fill your soul with, and that your soul, that they may be means also in the hands of the Lord, that he may give you that grace that you cannot miss. With the Lord's help, we wish to consider together in this afternoon, Lord's Day 23, the 61st question. Lord's Day 23, question 61. Why sayest thou that thou art righteous by faith only? Answer, not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and that I cannot receive and apply the same to myself any other way than by faith only. So far, our Lord's Day. How justification is received. First, this receiving of justification defended against errors. Second, this receiving of justification explained in the Scriptures.
how justification is received. First, this receiving of justification defended against errors. Second, this receiving of justification explained in the Scriptures. But what doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this, that I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life? That is, congregation, what we heard last time. Righteous before God and an heir of eternal life. And with whom has this had a place? With whom has this gone home? With whom has this taken hold even in the mind? As so that it was not as the birds plucking away that seed, but that you have taken it with you out of that house of God. Righteous before God, an heir of eternal life. Have you thought about it, young people? Have you thought about it, children? That you say, this is now the portion. Oh, if I only had this, then indeed I would have everything. There is, congregation, not so much time to be reconciled unto God. We read in the Word of God, our life that is like a vapor, a shadow. Did you ever watch, boys and girls, a shadow? What happens to a shadow? That is just as nothing. A shadow is there, and then it is gone. Did you ever watch a vapor? A vapor that is seen only for a moment. And then that vapor is gone. It is vanishing away. Now we read the truth of the Word of God. And then we have visited in this past week those who may commemorate 67 years that they may be united in holy matrimony. That is a long time. But now they stand at the end of their life. And before that we know it, when we are spared, young people, before that we know it, we are going to be standing there also. And then we are going to acknowledge that truth. That indeed our life is like a shadow. That our life is like a vapor. And then we realize more and more that it is very soon that we have to stand before God. That it is very soon that we are going to stand in the judgment. And then what? Oh, to be righteous. To be righteous before God. Oh, what a value that this will have for us in that great day of days. Last time, and then we heard what grace is, how that grace is free, how that grace that is sovereign, though my conscience accuse me that I have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them and am still inclined unto all evil, notwithstanding, even though it is so, even though it remains so, then it is as if I have never had nor committed any sin. Oh, how great is this blessing, the favor of God, the communion with God, reconciliation unto God. How great this blessing, a blessing that we cannot say with words, a blessing which we cannot portray in human language. And yet man, how many of men, rather seeking to win the lottery,
than to receive this great blessing, even though it is without money and without price. A blessing that is to be had only for the asking, only for the seeking. He says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. But you say, how? How then is this blessing actually received? We read that in the Word of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus the Bible is clear how that this is received. But Satan is always busy. Though Scripture is clear, Satan is busy always to overthrow those Scriptures. And God is looking for His own honor. But man, he is looking for his honor. And the devil, he is an accomplice unto man. Therefore, there are so many errors within the church of God from the beginning unto this day. Our catechism that says, why sayest thou that thou art righteous by faith only? Not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith. Thus, the Lord Jesus, he has warned the apostles. There are going to come wolves. They are going to come under the color of the truth. They are going to come from within you. And their error that is not going to be very clear necessarily. Then you will have to give diligence to put away these errors. And so our fathers have labored. Do we also labor that we may even understand anymore what our fathers are teaching? Thus, what is this error that our fathers are showing to us? There are several. In the first place, they are speaking against Rome. They are speaking against the Roman Catholic doctrine. And what does Rome say? Rome says that man is acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of his faith. Thus you hear our fathers, how that they are coming against this Roman Catholic doctrine. They say that faith is something that possesses a very great value, a great virtue. There is a great worthiness in faith. And that faith with its worthiness is the root of all the other virtues. Thus, faith that is bringing forth all of these other virtues, it is producing all other virtues, that which is good in man. Do they say faith is a gift of God? Yes. Therefore, that is so confusing. The closer that it is seeming to come to the truth, then the more deceitful and subtle and more dangerous that error is. Oh, yes, say they. Yes, that faith is a gift of God. What is now the error of Rome? You know that, young people from catechism class. Rome is placing sanctification before justification. Thus, they say the Lord renews man. He sanctifies him. He cleanses him. He gives to him what is necessary that he may be justified. Thus, the Lord is sanctifying. Yes, it comes from the Lord. The Lord is renewing. He is making into a new person. and he is giving a new ability. And man will, with this ability, especially with that ability of faith, which is the root of all other virtues, and man, in the exercise of this ability, which, yes, the Lord has given unto him, then man will work out his justification. Thus, a very subtle error. And there have been changes in the Roman Catholic Church from the time of Luther until the time of today. However, that error that has not been taken away, that error that has only become more subtle, and the foundation of the error of Rome that still remains. But after our fathers had dealt with Rome, then they also had to deal with Arminianism. And what does Arminianism teach? Arminianism is teaching that faith justifies God's people. How? Well, say they, God is gracious. And God is graciously receiving faith just as if it was the perfect observation of his law. Thus, the Lord is looking over all the transgressions of his people, and he is receiving their good intentions as a sacrifice which they are offering unto God. And thus, God is receiving his people even though they are not perfect. Is that possible? It is possible when we would come to an earthly judge, that an earthly judge in the imperfection which is in this world will look over those things which are minor. But this is, congregation, absolutely impossible with a judge who is perfectly righteous. No, then there is absolutely not a single sin. There is absolutely not one single transgression that is able to be overlooked by a righteous judge. Thus, the holy justice of God is not able to accept anything but an absolute perfect obedience. There is not a single sin that is able to go unpunished when man will stand before the judgment seat of God. That is, if the justice of God is going to be upheld, which is the only way possible, because God cannot put aside his perfections. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and shall be guilty in one point, then he is guilty of the entire law, the apostle says. The Lord does not save his people as a judge by overlooking their transgression. The Lord does not bring in his church by looking through his fingers at sin. The Lord does not descend from his throne of justice that he may ascend his throne of mercy. No, but the justice of God that is completely upheld when the Lord is showing mercy to his people. The faith of God's church is that a perfect faith. Rahab is listed in God's word as one of the heroes of faith. And yet, boys and girls, what did she do? We read of God's word of a very great act of faith of Rahab. What was that? That she hid the spies. And at the same time, then there was a weakness, that she was not able to hide those spies and tell the complete truth at the same time. Thus, an imperfection. Who, children, is the father of the faithful? That is Abraham. But what did Abraham do? Oh, then he feared. And he said, she is my sister, when indeed she is my wife. Oh, that faith of Abraham. No, that was not a perfect faith. And then Abraham has also taken unto him Hagar to be his wife. Why? Oh, it was so long that he could not completely, in true faith, rest upon the promise and the work of God. No. In that true church, then faith is not perfect. But what is not perfect does not live up to the standard of God. We cannot be justified by something that is not perfect. And therefore, it is impossible that a man would be justified by the perfection of his own faith. There is another error. That is the Neonomians. And they make faith into what we would call a new law. Thus, they are mixing faith with works, a very subtle error. They say the Ten Commandments, young people, they are for the Old Testament. And now in the New Testament, you read about a new law. And what is that new law that the Lord has given? That new law is a law of faith. It is a law of faith and repentance. And then they are basing salvation on the obedience of man to this new law. Thus, the same as Adam has been in covenant with God, the perfect keeping of that moral law that would have given him eternal life. Now the Neonomians, they say, no, that is not possible anymore. But the Lord has given a new law to his church. And if you will only obey and abide by this new law, then you will be saved. These are the errors that our fathers have defended the truth against. What did they say? Not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith. No, they said there is nothing worthy from that side of man. And also the holiest of works, also the most spiritual of works, they are not able to stand before God's perfection on that last day. No, the Lord Jesus said, there will be those who come before him and who will set their faith before him in that last day. And they will say, by faith we have lived in this world. By faith we have cast out devils. By faith we have worked miracles. The Lord Jesus, he will, as judge, send them away because their faith is not able to stand before God. What did the Lord Jesus come to do? The Lord Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And that is what Christ is going to do. He is going to do it. And He is also going to receive all the honor and all the glory for the salvation of His church. Therefore, our catechism says, not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God. That is our second thought. This receiving of the justification explained in the Scriptures. Why did Paul say that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned? Every gift has to be received by man according to its own nature. Our children can understand this. Light, children, how do you receive light? Do you receive that through your ears? Say no. You cannot hear light. Thus, there is a special organ that the Lord has given to us that we may receive light, that is not our ears, that is, you say, our eyes. Sound. That is also a gift of God. How do we receive it? Do we receive that with our eyes? Say, no, we cannot see sound. But the Lord has given to us a special organ that is directly adapted to receive this blessing. That is our ears. Those who lack the organ to receive the blessing remain without it. When I am blind, I cannot receive the blessing of light. And when I am deaf, I cannot receive the blessing of sound. Now that is the same reason that the Lord says in His Word, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because he has nothing to receive it with. He lacks the organ which is especially adapted, especially suited to receive spiritual things. What is that organ? That is faith. Thus, that is for the receiving, not of natural blessings, but faith is for the receiving of spiritual blessings. Therefore, Habakkuk says, the just shall live by faith. Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Thus, access that is by faith. Outside of faith, outside of this organ to receive, we have not the ability to receive this spiritual blessing. Therefore, our fathers, they say that I cannot receive
and apply the same to myself any other way than by faith only. Thus, when is faith given? Faith is given in regeneration. Faith is given when a man is made spiritually alive. Then a man is given the organ by which he is enabled to receive these spiritual blessings. He is given the spiritual eye. He is given a spiritual ear. He receives a heart that is now capable of receiving saving impressions of the Lord. That organ that is received in regeneration. But now when we have boys and girls and eye, then that eye also does something, that eye sees, that eye looks. And when we have an ear, then that ear does something, it hears. And now faith is also an organ, and what does faith do? Faith believes. Now we ask you, could you give yourself an eye? Impossible. Say, that was given from the Lord. Could you give yourself your ear? That was impossible. The Lord has given me my ear. We ask you, do you have the power of yourself to see even when you have eyes? Do you have the power of yourself to hear even when you have ears? All the Lord can show us how that in one moment, when He will take away His upholding hand, then our eyes have no ability to see. Therefore, there are those who are blind. Therefore, there are those who are deaf, and they still have eyes, and they still have ears. No, that organ, that is a gift of God. Do you know what else is a gift of God? The work of the organ. The seeing is a gift of God. And the hearing is a gift of God. And not only is the planting of faith that organ that I can receive a spiritual blessing, but also that believing itself is a gift of God. They say, sometimes you hear that, unbelief is the greatest sin. We do not deny that unbelief is a great sin. But we have also to make a distinction. Because there is the state of unbelief and there is the condition of unbelief. And when a man is in the state of unbelief, that means he has no organ of faith. Faith has never been given to him. It was never planted. He has no eye. He has no ears. Then, that they are in the state of unbelief. But God's children may also be in the condition of unbelief. Have they eyes? Have they ears? Has faith been planted? Yes. But they are not able to exercise that faith. With their spiritual eye and ear, they have lost the strength. They are not able to actually believe. Do you read it in the Word of God? From the beginning to the end. Thus, when man will say that unbelief is our greatest sin, and then we have to consider where man wants to go with this. Because when we will try to impress upon man that it is just your unbelief, and if you could only overcome your unbelief, well, then we go in the wrong direction. Because if we have not the organ of faith, then we
have nothing wherewith to believe. And is it our guilt? Absolutely. Why is it our guilt? Because we have taken out our own eyes. Because we have taken away our hearing. Thus, where is the guilt of man? That is especially in paradise, that he has deprived himself of spiritual life. Thus, the guilt, for the guilt of man, the natural man, we must go back all the way to paradise when he has deprived himself of the organ which is able to receive spiritual gifts. Thus, we are all in a state of unbelief by nature. But when the Lord plants faith in our heart, then man receives the capability of believing. And yet it is the Lord who must give also that exercise of faith. We think of that proud Pharisee. There was no room in his heart for the blessing. Say he was an unbeliever. That is true. But let us go for a moment and stand with that high priest Zacharias. Is that now all the same? Could that man believe? You are going to receive a son. How shall I know this? Oh, there was a man. He was not in the state of unbelief, but he was in the condition of unbelief. And what did the Lord do? That Pharisee he left alone, so righteously. But what did he do with Zacharias? Oh, he purged that tree, in order that that tree may bring forth more fruit. Let us sing. Psalter 120, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. On thy strength alone relying, why am I cast off by thee? In my helpless sorrow sighing, while the foe oppresses me. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 120.
Thank you.
Not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God. Thus, congregation, it is not faith, but it is that which faith receives, which is saving to the soul. The church is received through, the salvation of the church is received through faith. Thus, it is not the eye, but it is what the eye sees, which is the blessing that is received by that sight. It is not the organ of the ear, but the ear is but an organ to receive that blessing of the sound. Thus it is that it is not faith in itself, but it is that which faith is believing that is saving to the soul. Thus, we often speak about the object of faith, that which faith sees, hears, that which faith believes. What is that? And when faith is planted, then immediately, though it is coinciding with the strength of that infant faith, immediately that faith is going into exercise. Not all on that same object, no, but each one according to his station. What is now that one of the first things that faith believes? It receives. It receives something which we do not receive by nature. That is the truth of the existence of the living God. Say, I believe it. No, we do not believe it, because we have no organ to believe it. Because God is a spirit and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Had we believed it, the effects of that faith would be evident in our life. What was that? The fear of God. When we believe that he was our maker, then we also would have that effect in our life, that our heart would desire to return to him. When we believe that we had to meet him on that last day, then do you think that we would be so careless about our life as we are today, when our knowledge is but in our mind? No, we do not believe it. We cannot believe it, because we have not the organ of faith. Thus, when the Lord is planting that organ, then I begin to believe that God is, and that God is my maker, that God is my judge, that I have to meet him. Then my life becomes different. Then my life becomes serious. Then what a change is in my outward life. Why? Because of a change in my inward life. Because of a change in my heart. Because I have begun to believe. And it does not remain this way, because step
by step. We have spoken a little of that in this morning. Step by step, the Lord is leading His children that they may also have that faith to receive more objects of faith. Then we heard last time of the imputation. And first there is the imputation, and then I can receive what the Lord imputes. Thus, the Lord has to open it to a person. And when the Lord is opening it to a person, what his sin is, then I believe it. And when the Lord is opening to a person who his son is, then I believe it. And then only do I believe it personally for myself, O congregation. There is a completely different life. It is not a natural life. It is a spiritual life. And that is so different from this natural life. Do you know one in your household that lives also another life? A life by faith? Or then it is a people who will be led by the Lord to this place of our fathers, where they may receive the righteousness, satisfaction, and holiness of Christ to be my righteousness before God. Then it is when they are able to believe it for themselves or not, it is a righteousness and satisfaction that is imputed unto His church. And whether that faith is great or whether that faith is small is not the question. But the question is whether it is imputed unto that church. And that one that may grab it with a large hand, and he may hold on to it with a great faith. And then there is the other that says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And both are not strangers of true saving faith. And that is now the most important. Oh, may the Lord give to us not only understanding in our mind, but now a jealousy, a holy jealousy for this organ. Oh, boys and girls, young people, go home to your place. Say, Lord, I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear. I have hands to touch. I have a nose to smell. I have a mouth to taste. And I have no faith to believe. No faith to believe. I miss the organ. And when I miss the organ, then I will miss the salvation because I have nothing to receive it with. Oh, it would be so to the glory and to the honor of the Lord when He would give that organ unto you. Oh, plead then at His throne of grace that He may remember you also in mercy. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words. It is what we cannot give to ourselves. But Lord, we read it in Thy word. Thou givest it so freely. Oh, remember us, each and every one, and that we may feel how poor that we are, with no spiritual eyes and ears and mouth and nose and hands. And that we are so dead, but Thou can make us alive. Oh, give us then a place before Thee. Draw us, Lord. We will run after Thee. Go with us in the rest of this day. Bring us safely to our homes.
And wilt thou give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy? Oh, give the young people also a desire to read thy word and that which is based on thy word, and to search thy precious and thy holy scriptures, and that thou may bless and sanctify them to the parents and to the children and the grandparents alike in mercy. Keep us in the week to come. Forgive all our iniquities for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Psalter 398, stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by His most gracious hand. And what follows in 1 and 2 of Psalter 398. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.